Chair. My name is Cynthia Delestrinos Johnson. I'm the chair of this committee. It is the Planning and Economic Development Committee. I'm joined by my council members, Deshaun Quinn and Kathy Hogarty. And we have two items on our agenda tonight. The first item is the potential extension to expired rezone for Vintage at Tukwila. And I believe Max Baker is here to speak on that item to start us off. Hi.
Hi, everyone. Max Baker, Development Supervisor for the city. I'll just hop right into it. The issue for tonight is, should the city council reconsider request for an extension of a rezone from low-density residential to high-density residential in the Ryan Hill neighborhood that expired June 26, 2021? And I'm just going to share my screen real quick. We have a couple of attachments to the info memo tonight. I just want to run through those, give a little bit of background on this project and kind of where it stands right now. There we go. So on June 18th, 2018, Ordinance 2577 was approved, amending the zoning map for a potential future project called Vintage Tukwila. Essentially, as part of this rezone from LDR to HDR, there was a condition set forth requiring that the project apply for a development permit within 36 months from the effective date of the ordinance. And the effective date of the ordinance was June 26, 2018, which essentially set an expiration of June 26, 2021. So that would have been June of last year. As of January 27, 2022, no development permit has been applied for by the applicant. So effectively, according to this ordinance, the rezone is expired and would revert back to the previous LDR zoning that the site was previously zoned for. A bit of additional information on why this is coming up now. The applicant for this project, Vintage at Tukwila, recently had a pre-application meeting with the city and proposed a slightly different design to their project, essentially looking to take it from a larger footprint with a lower overall height to a smaller footprint with a higher overall height. And you can find this in the attachments. This is the original development proposal that came in under the ordinance, which was showing a 247-unit structure for senior housing spread across these parcels. The new proposal that we've seen under the pre-app, and I should reiterate that this isn't a set permit at this point, it's just a pre-application, so it's very preliminary. It looks like this. So they're looking to reduce that footprint and change a bit of the access. Essentially, some of the reasons that they were saying was that this would reduce some of the overall impacts to the site, and this is why this project's coming back before us again tonight. One of the main issues with this, though, is that one of the things that would need to happen to allow for this site to move forward with this type of development is that they would need to apply for a development agreement with the city. So this would be looking for a development agreement on top of the rezone, which they had received in 2018. So just going back in chronology, it was rezoned from LDR to HDR in 2018. That rezone expired in 2021 due to the 36-month condition. In any case, a development agreement would be needed to allow for the current proposed project that was brought before the city as part of pre-application this year. And they're looking to have, the applicant is looking to have the LDR to HDR rezone extended and then come in for a development agreement as well for this new project proposal. So the question essentially before the committee is, should this be considered by council? And if so, the city staff can look to bring an amended ordinance in front of the council. And I should also mention we have a number of members from the applicant party here tonight. I'm sure they would like to speak on this a little bit as well. So I'd like to give them a moment as well to speak on this.
Council members, Mac, thank you very much. My name is Ryan Patterson with Vintage Housing, part of the ownership group here representing the project. I think to expand on what Mac said, during that 36-month period, there obviously was a major effect, on everybody, which was the pandemic, and the reason that we're requesting this rezone is we've had to take material pivots on this project. We came in with the plan that was shown, the original plan, and we advanced those discussions as far as they could. The site itself has several things that are going on. One of the biggest ones, though, is fire and life safety that we are working with, the city on trying to mitigate that as much as we possibly could. When you had, when the pandemic hit, it was hard to get information and understand what could and could not be done from a design and structure ability, because the water availability on the site is limited, which is limiting our ability to use standard structures, if you will, just wood frame. So we've had to go to an all concrete structure in this in order to accommodate fire and life safety. We pivoted from a senior to try to look to a family during the COVID period, because senior housing really was being affected in terms of seniors not wanting to move. We're finally seeing seniors needing housing again and moving. And so that's why we pivoted back to come back and redesign and make it more effective for senior housing. And then also the site itself is highly impacted by wetland areas, and we're trying to minimize our effect on those as well. We're hoping that the council will consider, an extension. We've worked with many other municipalities, and I believe, Max, we provided some of the ordinances from other municipalities where they've granted these extensions with very little impact, discussion around it. They seem to understand, and we're hoping that you will as well.
Thank you, Ryan. Actually, and that's a good note that I should add to. The reason this is coming before the committee is compared to some of our other land use permits, which require director extension and building, so our building department head and the director of the DCD was able to extend a number of our land use and building permits during the pandemic. This one, having gone to council and ultimately being approved by council, is why we're bringing it back before council tonight to have them be the authority on extending this.
And I guess the last thing to note is that we continue to, offer all the things that we were considering when we did the land use change in the first place to the HDR, which was improving 47th, improving sewer and water to our neighbors. We had very little opposition, or if none, as long as we were bringing the additional services that people were excited to have in the neighborhood. So we're continuing to offer that.
Thanks. Is there anyone else here who wanted to also speak to this before we go to council member questions?
This is Jen Van Griffin with Vintage Housing, and I don't have anything else to add. Ryan, I think, clearly touched on everything that we need to on our standpoint, so we just appreciate your guys' time and consideration with this request.
Thank you.
Yeah, and from a civil standpoint, this is Sean with PacLand. If you have any questions, technical questions, we're here to address those.
Dirk. All right. I'll start with Council Member Hulverty.
Okay, thank you. I would say right at the offset that I am in favor of extending this, although we'll probably have more discussion on it, for a couple of reasons. One is it does seem reasonable with the pandemic and how things have shifted around. And another part of it is that in our next meeting, we're going to be talking about the county's growth targets. And they have the city of Tukwila, our target is 6,500 units by 2044. That is 295 units a year. And so for us to build this would help us meet those targets. And so that's another reason why I'm in support of it. But once we extend the agreement, that's when the hard work begins. because then you've got to get into the developer's agreement and also the impacts and making sure after reading this that there's quite a bit of infrastructure that is needed in order to be able to support this, because the area really wasn't developed. It's in the county, or it was in the county for so many years, and it's substandard when it comes to water and sewer. And Ryan, you probably could address all those things, right? And it sounds like you're willing to bring those up to standard, plus the roads, as I understand, the access. The roads are substandard. So I'm pretty impressed that you're willing to bring all that infrastructure in to this area and to the benefit of not only this development, but also the surrounding houses. So for those reasons, I'm very interested in looking at this. Like I said, you've got your work ahead of you because you'll need a developer's agreement. I support going up instead of going out. Those are things that we're going to have to start looking at more, I think, as a city as things move forward.
Thank you for your support. And just to touch on that, I mean, saying that we're going up on this site is kind of relative, because the truth is the way that this site looks out, it's hardly the impact to the neighbors is negligible, if not at all. The extra floor doesn't really impact line of sight or any kind of visibility from anyone, you know, versus like other projects where, you know, we'd be a giant eyesore looking down in their backyard. That's not the case here. So.
All right. Well, thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Quinn.
So I have a couple questions, the majority of which are going to be directed to Max or Mr. Baker. Sorry about that. I'm comfortable with this going forward with this in mind, that DCD is definitely going to, you know, I would say it's going to be important to talk about what we've done and what we will do because of the impacts of the pandemic, and how we can do it in a way that provides a level of clarity as much as we can, right? We're all reacting to all of this. Let's see. And then also, you know, with the usual assurances, you know, for being familiar with this project, knowing that the sensitive areas would be protected, the assurances around structural stability are, is kind of a primary thing for us as council. Hold on a second. This is the beauties of working from home here. Hold on. Still not going wrong. All right, so yeah, we'll just have to deal with the background noise. The other thing is, it seems like the developers wanting to focus back on senior housing. And so, you know, I think as a part of being willing to have this go forward, is just that fundamentally the certain kind of guarantees are kept in the process. And then, you know, I think this will be important for the staff report to kind of speak to those commitments. And a suggestion for the developer is, and it's readily available, I'd encourage you to look at, if you haven't already, the city goals and strategic plan, and how and if this development allows us to attain those goals and strategies. And I guess this question is for more for the developer. You went from one extreme with the pandemic and a lack of materials. Now you're going to the next extreme by doing a concrete building in the middle of a concrete strike. So those are all, I'm sure, considerations and trade-offs you're willing to make. But, you know, I think the goal is that there's that commitment to go forward. I think you've shown that. And any assurances you can to do that would be really helpful in considering the steps, because as the fellow council member mentioned, infrastructure, having the infrastructure there is a net benefit of quality of life of folks in that area, but they, and you've interacted with them, and I would encourage that that continue. And so maybe that's just a question you could answer.
I'll kind of tackle it as best I can. I'll work backwards if that's okay. Yes, we continue to meet with the neighbors because one of the things that we found that was troubling for our development and what impacted us was trying to find the best route to having that happen, entrance into the project. So we have interacted with our neighbors, and so far the interaction has been very positive. And we are committed to the infrastructure. And then something to kind of touch on, the reason that I brought up is that we weren't just inactive. I don't want you to feel that we weren't trying to do as much as we... Should I wait for Councilman Quinn, or I don't know if we dropped?
I didn't drop. I'm here.
Oh, okay. I was just saying is that, you know, I was just trying to demonstrate that we weren't inactive during this process, that we were continuing to find ways to develop this during the pandemic. And ultimately we are a senior housing developer and that's our goal. We feel that it does fit within what the city of Tukwila was looking for, if not actually more so now than when we even undertook the project, because at that time you had two senior housing projects that had just been recently developed. And now that we're 3 years past that point, I think that we even now probably meet the demand and the needs even better.
Thank you. I am in favor of the extension. I think one of my biggest concerns is, you know, I appreciate the agreement that was entered into before in terms of improving, you know, sewer and the sidewalks, generally improving the neighborhood. But I also, this is more for the city staff, as well as us as city council members, about what kind of improvements do we have on the horizon on Ryan Hill to, you know, to improve the neighborhood beyond, you know, just the developer. But I'm really thinking ahead in terms of all the people who will be moving in here, many of them seniors who have additional needs in terms of access. We want to make sure that we're creating access to public, you know, public transportation. There's a light rail station on the way. Do we have a CIP that makes improvements on the Ryan Hill area?
So since Public Works isn't here tonight, I don't want to speak too far into that topic. I think the best thing I can do at this point is refer to the Ryan Hill study, which is still on our website. A number of years ago, they essentially set forth different scenarios on what infrastructure and rezones in this area could do for development moving into the future. It was just kind of a scenario building exercise, but all those documents are found on our webpage on the city's webpage if you search for Ryan Hill Neighborhood Study. It can kind of give you a better idea of all those considerations that went into future development in the area. Showed kind of those areas that are unserved by sewer and water, those areas that are typically still on septic, things like that. I would say in the meantime, that's a good reference.
Thank you. And I know this will be relevant for those of you who are on the line, Ryan, as well as the others. We will be going through an update to our comprehensive plan. And so that just might be something that you may want to pay attention to as we seek feedback from the community, is, you know, jumping in and advocating as you will be developing in this area. I definitely want to hear the voices of yourselves as well as others from the Ryan Hill community about things that we can do to improve the neighborhood.
Yeah, lastly, just so you know, council people, is that we are a long-term holder of our projects. We're not just a build and sell. We're going to be a long-term community partner. We've had a lot of successful projects, over 28 projects in the state of Washington, in communities such as yourselves, but also Covington and Mill Creek and Shoreline. So we have a long history, and I think we've been a really good community partner.
Thank you. Thank you for attending, and I'm sure our staff will keep you posted. Council members, do you have any additional questions?
Thank you very much for your time and your support of the project. We really appreciate your understanding.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, council members.
Thank you. All right, we will go on to our next topic on the agenda, which is the wayfinding plan creation. And we have Brandon here. There you are. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, everyone. So thank you. For the record, Brandon Miles, Mayor's Office and Economic Development. The item that's before you tonight, there is no decision needed. This is an update. Councilmembers Hogarty and Quinn, you've most likely seen this in the past. So this would be kind of a refresher, but it would be good to touch base again. So we are talking about doing a wayfinding plan for our tourist areas of the city. And this was, and I'll get into this a little bit more in depth. What we're hoping to do is to go to lodging tax and to do an RFP, and we'll come back to the committees, both lodging tax and the city council, for final approval of the requested funds. This has been something that was on our list to do, and I had the RFP drafted, and then this little pandemic hit us in March of 2020. So we put this on hold because our lodging tax revenues were dropping, and from a workload standpoint, we didn't want to bring a consultant out. So I'm gonna share my screen, and I'm gonna ask the relevant question that everyone always asks when they share their screen. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. And you notice the date, March 16th, 2020, that was the last time I presented this, and I think it was the last in-person meeting of the old Planning and Economic Development Committee, which is now the PCD Committee. So a little bit of historic reference there. So wayfinding and entry signs, what we want to talk to you tonight is the why, what are the existing conditions, and what would be our next steps. So when I think of wayfinding, think of any sign that you might see that is part of a city system, not traffic control signs. Those are regulated by Public Works and the Uniform Manual on Traffic Control Devices. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about these signs that say Tukwila, SeaTac, Huntsville, like you see here. So what we're looking at doing is benefits of wayfinding signing. One, it guides visitors to key places. When you think about Tukwila, right, 150,000 people come into the city every day. Almost all of those are not Tukwila residents. And so we have an opportunity to let people know that when they go to iFly, when they go to Starfire, when they go to the Museum of Flight, that they are in the city of Tukwila. It brings awareness to other places. So, you know, you might not go to it while you're there, but if you saw a sign saying AMC Theater or something along those lines, it gives you the understanding that, oh, you know, I know that we can do that down in Tukwila. It helps stimulate economic growth, reduces sign clutter, and we can fix a broken system. The other thing I'm talking about is what's called a branded community wayfinding signage, where it looks and all the signs look the same. They have common design elements. They're part of an overarching system that connects one another, that one sign hands off to another sign. The benefit of this are it supports the brand. So when people see our experience Tukwila social media, they also realize, oh my gosh, it's the same thing that I see down in Tukwila. It knits the community together and turns a designation into a destination and can raise community pride. Also, physical signage is one of the three kind of opportunities that you do to brand and market your city. It's one of the few things that we can actually own. We don't have to rely on someone else to give us space for a sign. It's stuff that we own. We can control the placement. We can control the messaging. So I'm going to real fast go through the type of signs when you hear wayfinding, just so we have a common kind of nomenclature. So the first are these kind of gateway signs. These are the ones that welcome you to the city. These are the ones that say, you know, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Thunder Bay, like this one, Tukwila. These are placed at key parts of your city where people are where you want people to identify this with Tukwila. These do not need to be at your city limits. You see a lot of, when you kind of let the engineers do this, they will put it right at the city limits. They don't need to be at your city limits. They need to be at the places you want people to associate your community with. And so sometimes you know, in a very traditional city. Even like Tukwila, you might have industrial areas that are on your outskirts before you get to your urban core. You don't always need signs that are saying that right next to something that you don't want people to necessarily associate your city with. And I have an example I'll show here in a moment of Tukwila. Next are vehicle guides and pedestrian guides. These are little signs that give input to people who might be driving, who might be walking. Again, these are smaller signs that kind of help with wayfinding, but also provide a sense of place as people are visiting. The next are information kiosks and directories, and then these trailblazer signs where you kind of denote a pedestrian path or a bicycle path. The information kiosks, I think, are very important. It's not, you know, people would say, I have my iPhone. My iPhone tells me where I can go, but the information kiosks are also a marketing tool. Someone looks at this and they see the stuff that's happening in the area, and it reinforces the activities happening. We have some information kiosks on our trail system. They're not really regularly used either by us or King County, so we already have a space where we could start using these. The next are identity signs and regulatory signs. We are not actually proposing that we get into this. City facilities would not be part of the brand that we have adopted. We've made that conscious decision a few years ago. So these will not be part of it, but I simply wanted to show that these are something that are kind of included in wayfinding as well. Banners and message centers, these are another key element of placemaking and of a wayfinding system. We've talked about banners up along Baker Boulevard in the South Center area. We did these back in 2008 as part of the centennial celebration for the city. It's something that we have identified that we want to do, both along in South Center and on Tukwila International Boulevard. Interpretive and public art. We've actually gotten started on the public art. The South Center District, we've installed now two phases of art in South Center. Public art is a form, it's included in that signage plan because it's something that, again, creates a sense of place and a sense of identity, and it's a physical improvement. This is very similar almost to what we did. You know, we did not put our city seal in a crosswalk, but we'd use that that design element along Baker Boulevard and Christensen. And that, if you notice, the coloring of that is very consistent with the brand that we've adopted, which was kind of was actually very coincidental, but fits very nicely in what we're working on. Real fast, let's talk about the existing system. So our existing system really is broken, it's not unified, and it's missing key elements. So this is an example. This is the sign as you get off southbound I-5 at the off-ramp. We have a city sign, and behind us we have an adult a novelty shop. Is that the kind of messaging that you want to have when people think of Tukwila? It kind of reinforces stereotypes that we, it's likely it was they were installed when we before that got established, but we don't need to put the sign right at the off ramp. We could put it in other places where we can kind of control what's around it and create a better environment as people are coming into the city. This idea that our system is broken was identified as part of our brand study that we did in 2017-2018. We had Bill Baker, an international destination consultant, who did experienced Tukwila as a tourist. And one of the things that he says in his as a first-time observation, he says, given the scale and complexity of options within the area, there's a lack of signage, and we're designing maps and directories. So this problem holds particularly true for accessing the South Center shopping precinct itself, as well as navigating in and around the mall. And then as part of their survey, they also looked at the existing signs, and they noted that except for our freeway signage, which actually is pretty good for a city of our size, we need major improvement from our gateway signs, our directional signs, pedestrian business signage, and maps and kiosks. And this is kind of showing some of that not unified system. All three of these signs are in either South Center or Tukwila South. The sign to the right there is very similar to other signs we have. We don't have a unified element with those signs. It's a different, it's kind of It's kind of been on a case-by-case process. And instead of having an element that we use, and a good example, King County as well as Sound Transit, I think do a very good job of the signage on their site. It all fits. When you go on a Sound Transit site, you see a common element. It fits in with their overarching brand, and it's connected. So what would be our next steps? So first, we want to hire a consultant to help us develop a wayfinding signage plan. This would include organizing a site assessment and planning, concept generation, design development, and documentation. We would not be building any signs right now. That would happen over time, and I'll get to that in a moment. So we would not be doing bidding or fabrication and installation. So this is kind of one of the elements that you get here through a wayfinding plan. You kind of get a map of where your signs could go. And again, this it's created at a high level, and so that you understand how signs interact with each other. So how does the gateway sign interact and hand someone over to, say, a vehicle circulation sign or bicycle sign? This is from Jamestown. The city of Burien completed one right before the pandemic for their downtown a wayfinding program as well. So these are some other things that we would get from the plan. We would get a common design. Again, these would not be specific designs to specific sites, but this could be like, this is how a gateway sign could be. This would be the size, and this would be the approximate cost it would be to construct and build something. The cost of the plan creation, we're thinking between $50,000 to $100,000. It would be subject to the scope, things that could impact the scope, how much public outreach do we want, the geographical limit. We were initially only looking at this from a for the South Central District, around Starfire, and also up and around the Museum of Flight. There could be the opportunity to add an add-on where we would have someone look at signage along Tukwila International Boulevard. I want to caution, just make sure that we do not have a brand for Tukwila International Boulevard, that we don't use the – we were not thinking that we would put the Tukwila brand up on Tukwila International Boulevard, but we could – identify where signs could go, and then work on the idea of the brand or the naming later. And the other thing I would point out, this is eligible for lodging tax funds. And in fact, the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee has expressed a desire to do a wayfinding plan. The City of Burien's plan costs just under $50,000, but again, that was only focused on downtown Burien, and I would also say they don't have as much stuff going on from a scale standpoint. They don't have a bicycle trail like we do and some other amenities. Downtown Burien's great, but it's not to the scale that we would do for South Center and some other parts of the city. We would create an advisory committee. This would include LTAC members, someone from the Art Commission, Public Works, Parks, Community Development, and business reps. So how, you know, I said earlier, we're not going to install the signs now. That would be actually very expensive, but how would we pay for these signs as we go along? First, I think lodging tax. We budgeted in our six-year financial plan. We have included funds to do build out over time, so we could take on individual projects as we move forward. We could look for grants through our O&M activities. So if we have a sign that needs to be replaced, it's in the public works budget, we can just make sure it's consistent with our brand when we replace the sign. As we do capital improvement projects, the signs to the right, this was part of the pedestrian bridge. If we have a plan in place, we can use that design as part of those improvement projects. It'd be very small part of the cost and probably would be eligible for other grant reimbursement. We could use it as an exaction on redevelopment if there was an opportunity, and then private contributions to the system. So our next steps, we've already briefed LTAC. We're briefing the city council now. We'd like to start recruiting for the advisory committee and issue an RFP. Sorry, it says an RFG there. There would be no if the RFP gets issued and we get huge responses back in the sense of like it's, you know, much more than we budgeted, we would, of course, we don't have to award the RFP. So with that, I think that's the end of my presentation. And I will stop sharing my screen unless there's anything anyone wants to go back and look at.
I think you could take it down maybe for now. And if there's a need to bring it back up, we can. Thank you so much, Brandon, for your presentation. It was a really good one. So thank you for preparing that before for us and updating it with relevant information. And now I will, Deshaun, do you have any questions? I'm changing it up on you guys.
I'm here for it. So I have some comments and some questions. I'm very familiar with this because of the presentation. Thank you for the references on LTAC. But, you know, that was, I think I might have been facilitating that meeting. I can't remember. So the first thing that comes to mind is this concept of how do you eat an elephant? You know, it's, you know, one piece at a time. And so when we think about all these things that we want to do, we want to incorporate certain things that represent our community. Wayfinding is also one way. On that path, and just for the record, I don't eat elephants, is neighborhoods being reflected. And so that's kind of a question about the committee, because in a lot of ways, you have people who lived in Tukwila who tell people they lived in Tukwila, and then when you get here, they're like, I didn't know this was Tukwila. So there's an opportunity to bring the city together as multiple neighborhoods. I think there's an opportunity to highlight and identify the uniqueness of the type of neighborhoods, especially now with the Urban Center. We're in partnership, and that has a whole neighborhood feel as well, and it's not just commercial. And so the wedge between residential and commercial, to me, we need to find more spaces where we come together. One other thing, I love this concept around developers, just like the previous conversation. The city doesn't have the revenues that it used to, which means that in order to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish, it's leveraging development. I guess in a nutshell, my question is there thought around having neighborhood representation as a part of this committee, with a distinct and consistent purpose around tying it to the strategic plan? And everything else, I'm familiar with it. I'm very supportive. But hoping we can think outside the box.
So, Councilor Member, yes, we can incorporate. We could look at part of this being a wayfinding plan for the for most of the city, and figure out how do we get our individual neighborhoods to be represented. You see places where, like, you know, you drive into a specific district or neighborhood in other cities and they say, welcome to so-and-so neighborhood. We don't typically, from what I can see, I don't believe we have any. There is, on the SeaTac side of McMicken Heights, they have a sign that they've installed that says, welcome to McMicken Heights. So that is something that we can look at doing. It would add scope and probably would increase the budget. I still, you know, we always run into this complexity of, is it eligible for lodging tax funds? I would want to, I think you could build it in the sense that it's part of an entire plan, and so we could include it as part of the lodging tax, but I would want to look into that a little bit more.
Yeah, and I would just say I agree, and I think be sensitive to that. And you could say welcome to Tukwila, and welcome to our distinct neighborhood such and such. And because the Urban Center is now a neighborhood, I'm not scope creeping. I'm just saying that could be an honest piece. Oh, and I remember I did have one more thing, and so sorry to add on. There's got to be some benefit of being a city that's 8.5 square miles by 8.5 square miles. There's got to be some efficiencies that are that way. And then the other hook for neighborhoods is, I'm sure there's plenty of people who run into people who say, I'm looking for South Center. I was like, okay, you're in. So it's also a wayfinding for people to go to the retail center.
Yes. And you know, the thing, there's a huge placemaking is in it. So people want to visit authentic places. They want to visit places that have an identity in our community, and so that's why, you know, I think it is something that it would be great if we can incorporate our residential resident infrastructure areas into this as well. So.
Councilmember Hogarty?
I don't have any questions because I've seen this in pieces and then it all comes together and watch this evolve. So this is for discussion only, and I'd say moving it forward, it sounds like that's what's going to happen. I'm interested in seeing what happens here in the future with the plan, and I'm supportive of it. Thank you.
I think this is great work. I love the slide of you showing all of our signs that don't match, because that's a good example of why, you know, why this is important, why we're doing it. I agree with Councilmember Quinn's comments about broadening the scope, and I want us council members to think about then, because the, you know, what Brandon's saying is this is supported by LTAC funds, but if we broaden the scope, we might need to put our own funds, our city funds, into a project like this. One thing I want staff to maybe consider in, or I do want staff to consider in this is, you know, how much would that be? How would that impact then the, how would it work if LTAC members are participating, if there seems to be a focus on South Center? But I do think that it could, if we don't do it all together, the neighborhoods, Tukwila International Boulevard, you know, the South Center District, I think I feel like we'll create an incomplete wayfinding plan. Like, I just think that if we're going to do it, let's do it consistently across Tukwila. And if that means that we need to look at increasing the budget for this and looking at the city contributing funds, then I think we should at least do that. And I don't know how my other council members feel about that. Or if, Brandon, you have thoughts.
No, there are some grant opportunities coming up that we, you know, so how I would suggest this is we would first, Councilmember Quinn noted about the, about our size and how that is advantageous. It is from a cost standpoint. And so what we would do with the RFP is we would go and say, well, here's the basic work we want to do, and here's some ad alternatives. How much would it cost you to do this? And then what we can come back with is say, look, it's, you know, the bulk of a consultant contract is for South Center and for the tourist areas, and there's just a small amount that we need for the residential areas, and we can figure out how to if we can use lodging tax funds for that or if we need to find another source of funds.
Thanks. Councilmember Hogarty.
Yeah, I like the idea of looking at this holistically, like my other council members have talked about. That's really good. I like the idea of then sort of parsing it out so that you could add those on, because there might be different funding sources. And also I was thinking that we're talking about the branding, like what the signs would look like, and TIB might be different than South Center, and the neighborhoods might be different too. So to make them into different add-ons or different, you know, this is portion A and B and C, I think that's really great. And then, but looking at it as a whole piece really does make sense. And then seeing so that they fit together, although they might have different funding or they might have a different brand look. So yeah, I agree. Those are good ideas.
Thank you, Kathy. Are there any more comments, questions on this item? I do have one miscellaneous, and it's just sort of in follow-up to our retreat. All right.
Councilor, if I could just, so our plan is we're not going to go take this to the whole council yet. We brief the committee and we will go forth and come back with an RFP, and then perhaps someone could report out at committee just that we had this discussion, but we were not planning on taking this to the whole council, this presentation.
Okay. Is everyone okay with that? Okay. Yep. That sounds good. I could give an update at under reports tonight. All right, miscellaneous item. One of the things that we discussed at the retreat, and I think this is mainly for probably Nora and Derek, was prioritizing work plans. And so, Laurel's not here. She's the one who helps us put it on. But I don't know if Nora or Derek had any follow-up questions about that, or if this is new information to you. Rachel might want to jump in first.
Let's let Rachel go first.
I know it just happened and it's Monday, so.
I might have just a little bit more information than my colleagues. So, so we talked about this today. We think it's a great idea. Actually, Laurel and Cheryl are going to take the first cut at it before staff that then does their look at prioritizing those, so that Laurel can then bring, you know, her vast and amazing knowledge of you all and your priorities. Then we'll go ahead and go through that next week at the admin team meeting, so staff would be able to come back to you with some prioritized work plans here in a few weeks. So we definitely have that on the path. We just need a couple of weeks to get it together. So
perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. That sounds good to me. Is that good with you, Deshaun and Kathy? Okay, great. Well, if there's nothing else, thank you all for the meeting today, and I will see you all at 7.